Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind here at WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Things to think about. One of my favorite things to think about is science. I am lucky to be assisted by one of the best scientists in town, Stephanie Dombra, whose birthday it is today, by the way. And Stephanie brings me ideas of things that we should look at, things that we should examine, neuroscience. And also, we pay attention to a lot of outside sources. One of the sources that I really appreciate is TED, TED.com. TED.com shows an awful lot of very interesting science. It's quite an organization. You might check into that yourself. But going to it recently, I wanted to hear something. There was an unusual leader who I found in there, who I never found. I was never very attracted to, Tony Robbins. He's a motivational speaker, and he's very famous, you know, walk on fire kind of Tony Robbins guy. Very, very energetic, you know, tremendous energy, motivates people through energy. But I listen to something he had, because I realized that if the TEDxCOM people were giving him a keynote address, a speaking address, he must have had something through all of his energy to say, and I was listening to something. And I'm going to do today my interpretation of what I think Tony was trying to say. He talked about basic needs. And I think this is what he does. So I want to give him full credit for this. This is Tony Robbins' idea, interpreted through TED. Of course, usually they sell it. If you want to, what he usually does is he sells all his information, seminars and books and stuff like that. So this is one of the few places you get a chance to see him for free and listen to what he has to say. And as I was listening, he had three things. He talked about some basic needs. And what I'd like to do with you today, explore these basic needs and see how you feel about them as well. He talks about the need for certainty. Do we have a need for certainty? And what is the need for certainty? He said, you know, if you think about it, we have a need to avoid pain. Well, that kind of makes sense. We have a need for certainty because certainty will help us avoid pain, help us stay alive. Certainty is very important. How do you get certainty? How do you get predictability? How do you know that if you run under a shelter, the rain is not going to fall on your head? Certainty. So you build a shelter so that the rain won't fall on your head when it's raining out. You could find shelter. That's certainty. Certainty, you want a house. You want a 401k plan. Well, that's pretty primitive. You want certainty. You want to have a retirement. You want to have a mate who you know is going to be there. Certainty. You want to be able to predict things. The older you get, the more certainty you seem to want in life. Your legs get wobbly, you become a little shaky, and you say, I want to be able to stand, and I know if I fall down, I want to fall on a soft surface. So they put up guards and rail guards, and they make sure that if you do fall, you're taken care of. Certainty. You want to protect yourself. It seems that the older you get, the more certainty you look for. And so that's why people buy homes. And they have, you know, predictable places they live, and they don't go on vacations as much as they have a summer home where they go over and over again. Certainty. So there's a need for certainty. It shows up in our desire to control everything around us. The very desire to control things is an act of certainty. But just as we have a need for certainty, there is another need that we have, equal if not greater than, which is the need for uncertainty. Uncertainty. How do we know this? Variety. We are looking for, and we are always looking to find something that is unusual, something that surprises us. We like things that we cannot predict. That's why we go on roller coasters. That's why we go to murder mysteries and mystery theaters and thrillers and stuff like that. Let it jump out at you and scare you. You want the uncertainty. Why? Because somehow the human body is built that if it finds the homeostasis of certainty, which is, means the steady level of certainty, it kind of just hanging out in the same place, and your cells are just kind of hanging out and dying. Uncertainty brings you the need for new cells. So you're bringing in new cells, and you're bringing in, you're growing. The need for uncertainty is just as big as the need for certainty. Talk to any partner who's gotten bored with sex. You know? What's happened? You get too much certainty, sex becomes boring. It's no longer alive. One of the many different speakers on sex have talked about is that you have to bring in the unusual. You have to bring in something unusual. You have to make it not so sure. Get a great hotel room, dress differently, do something differently. Uncertainty brings back the spark to your sexuality as well. So we say you like uncertainty. Well, you know, many of you are going to say, no, I just want to know what is. I just want to have you just give me what I predict and I'll be happy. I don't want anything that jumps out at me. You know, I don't want that, but it's not true. You do want uncertainty as long as it pleases you. You don't like surprises that don't please you. So uncertainty is something that we have a very strong need for. But sometimes we try to control that uncertainty and we say to ourselves, well, we want certain uncertainties, but we don't want other uncertainties. So you want to close your door, and many people I know and many people you know live certain lives. They want to be able to predict everything. They are safe. And they're dying. When you have an uncertainty that you don't like, you know what you call it? You call it a problem. That's a problem. When you have an uncertainty that pleases you, that's fun. But certainly there's got to be room for them. The next need that Tony Robbins explored that I found valuable to look at was a need for significance. My interpretation of what he was saying is that we have a need to be significant. We have a need to be noticed. We have a need to be seen. We have some need that if we just stand there and we're invisible, something happens to us. We feel like we're dying. We need to be noticed. Now, I thought one brilliant connection he made was a need between connection between significance and violence. He said the one thing about violence is it makes you significant. If you put a gun to somebody's head, you are now significant. If you hold a power button to a weapon, you are significant. There is no more significance than having the power over other people's lives. He even proposed that part of the reason that people are so attracted to violence is because of their need for significance. Because he said that the other side of significance is if you don't have it that way, if you don't get significance through asserting power, you get significance by being a partner to somebody. Now, there's a problem this is Armand DeMille with you with The Pocket of Mind, by the way. Talking about some of the basic needs, certainty versus uncertainty, which I talked about. Now we're talking about significance and then connection versus love. If you want to be with someone, you want to be significant with someone, you can either do it by being connected or you could do it through love. Connection is what most people favor. Just be connected to me. You're just partners. You touch each other. You don't have the real risk of love. You don't have that deep stuff. You don't risk as much hurt. But you do have connection. So one of the ways of finding significance is through connection, through love. The final thing he says, which I thought was important, was that if you can't find significance through love, the only other way you're going to find it is by giving. And he says moving outside of your world and moving into a grander world where you find yourself a giving, active partner in the world, helping the world, greening the planet, doing what you can, is the other way we have. In fact, what Tony doesn't say, but I said got from what he said, is that giving is the alternative to violence. Both will make you significant, and both will feed the significant need. But if you're giving in a way that you could feel the impact of what you give, that's a terrific thing. And the more we give, the less violent we become. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're talking about certainty versus uncertainty. What about you, my friends? How do you feel on that spectrum of significance versus significance? 212-209-2900. We are going to take your calls today. Certainty versus uncertainty and the need for significance. That's what I want to talk to you about today, how you feel you fit in there. Are you somebody who just loves certainty? Are you somebody who has an obsessive compulsive disorder? Now, there's a good one for you, where you're constantly looking for certainty. You're checking, you're making sure, you're doing over and over again the same thing. What is that about? It's about the need for certainty. It's about this need to control. It's about this need to avoid pain by having something be uncertain. But it's a difficulty because, you know, the world offers you the growth of certainty, of uncertainty. It says to you, here's the opportunity through uncertainty. So you have to somehow embrace both. What good is it if you know what your mate is going to wear every day? You know, let's say you have a mate, a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, lover, and they wear the same clothing every day. It would be nice if they wore something different, if the fragrance was different, if you went somewhere different. Why do you think we have restaurants? Why do you think people go out to table-like dinners? Why do you think they have this whole world out there? Because they find that romance really thrives in an atmosphere of an uncertain certainty. 212-209-2900, we're going to take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, this is Heidi.
Heidi, Heidi, how are you? And it's been a long time since I've spoken to you.
Yes, I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good.
This is a very interesting subject, and the way you're presenting it to me makes me think about my situation, certainty versus uncertainty, and I have both. You first talked about pain. And I'm actually in a very acute state of a disease where I'm having tremendous pain from my head to my feet. And it's keeping me bedridden most of the time. I'm suffering terribly. And that's been certain for many years now. But I still take it from one day to another because I always hope to heal. And there is an uncertainty about my life, which is the spiritual. I never know what's going to happen, but there's always some kind of blessing that comes in to balance things out so that I can carry this burden and persevere.
Well, you've gone a very long way, and I want people to know that in a short while I'm going to be presenting a program just about you and what you've been through. So I don't want to talk about it very much at this length, but somehow your spirit survives. Somehow
yes.
You've maintained a positive spirit through it all, through
yes.
a life of tremendous uncertainty.
Yes.
Now, do you think in some way the lack of certainty in your life, which is more in your life than anyone else, and I'm going to say this for people who may know of a thing called multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder. This is what Heidi is talking about. She's lived with this most of her life, as well as living with physical pain. But certainty is something you don't have.
Well, I do have some certainty, but it's not in the way that most people think of certainty.
What are your certainties?
My certainties are that there is a spiritual, there's a fire in my heart, that it's a light that never dies. That's my certainty. Can always count on that.
You can always count on that light. And
yeah,
Heidi,
always.
How would you find that light when you lose it? What would you do? Where would you go?
Well,
you're in Staten Island.
That's you have to go deep within. And I guess two words, seek truth, really, is how it all started. But it's there in everybody, really. Everybody has it. Everybody has this light. And it is our very essence. It is who we are. And we just get layered over with all this stuff in life, the uncertainties, the certainties. They can be good, they can be bad in people's perceptions. And they are what they are, I guess, according to how you think. But this light that exists in us, it is there. I mean, it is our core essence. And it's only the layers on top of us that makes us forget that we have this light. So you have to
what makes you think that everybody's got that? You know you do. Why? How can you speak for everybody?
I've searched for it deeply because I had to search for it because, my earlier life, there was a lot of darkness around me. But I had to believe in the light.
You had to believe that that light existed in everyone.
Yes.
So it's important for you to believe that there's a basic good inside everybody.
Yes.
And that's vital to your existence.
Yes, but it's not just fantasy. Like, I had to this had to be proven to me. It's not something that I just believed it because I needed to believe it. I had to be really shown this in actual fact. And it was a journey, really. It was a great journey. It didn't come to me all at once.
Well, we won't be able to convey to people the depth of this now.
It's very
deep. But we will
in
a future program.
It is deep. But
yeah, and I thank you so much for calling in.
Okay.
Nice to hear your voice again.
It's nice to hear you. Be well. Hope you are well.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. I have known amazing recovery. I have known people who have lived with absolute uncertainty. I have known people who have lived through war, through floods, through terror, through any number of things. And you find what she's talking about. You find this spark. You find this light. Always keeps coming back. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand.
Yes.
How are you? This is Tony from the Bronx.
Hello, Tony.
How you doing? This is a great topic. You know, what I find so interesting is that we're always able, if we keep an open mind, we're able to learn from each other and from Tony Robbins, from you, from the woman before us, and from different areas. As long as you have to be searching, just for some stuff. But what I wanted to say was that where I get a lot of strength and power from, and maybe that's not the right word, but more peace of mind, is that I realize that we make ourselves, I think human beings, all of us, we make ourselves significant, because if not, we might go crazy or something. I think that I get power from believing that there's really no truths, no lights, no rights or wrong. We're just here on this planet like every other, animal, mammal, whatever. And whatever comes my way, I'm just going to deal with it the best that I can. And as a result of that, I've been able to get a lot of peace of mind in my life. And
now, Tony, before this, do you remember being a negative head?
Not negative. I've always been a pretty positive person, but I was very. I tended to, when things didn't go my way, I would retreat into and not always, just occasionally, I would retreat into either like a martyr or self-pity or angry.
And how come you don't do that anymore?
Well, because I realize now that, life is not, it's not that it's not fair. It's just not fair or fair. It is what it is. And by giving it so much significance, we make it fair or unfair, we give it meaning.
So there's an important point you're making.
Right.
That sometimes our need for significance will make us attach to a problem as if it is significant. And let me give you an example of this. An example of this is paranoia. When a person is paranoid, and I'm a clinician, so people come to see me, and sometimes they have severe mental disturbance, including paranoid personality, paranoid schizophrenia. But it's something I've always noticed about paranoid people, that one of the things that they are saying, what paranoia is I am being persecuted by someone else. But if you look a little deeper at that, you say to yourself, or I say to myself, therefore you're important to somebody else. If you're being persecuted to somebody else, you have created a world in which you are important to someone else, because if that person wants to persecute you, they find you significant. Therefore, if you are somebody who suffers from an absence of significance, one of the things you could do is create a paranoid world to feel significant. You are then important to somebody else, even if it's just that they're hating you. And I know many people, for example, many women talk about how women are jealous of them.
Right.
They have created significance in their lives by projecting onto other people feelings that they have about you. So this need to be significant can often be, in some persecutory way, just a way to you to kind of feel your very existence, your very aliveness. So I agree with you completely.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, and again, I'm not, again, there I go. You know, it's not a truth. It just helps. You know, it just eases the pain, sort of. You know, it just allows you to be, you know. So that's helped me so much. And that's interesting what you said, because it just by making yourself significant, I think it's a need just to make yourself feel better. You know, like I picture a caveman in a storm, and he's in his little cave all alone, and he's like, oh my God, you know, he's all scared, he doesn't understand anything, what's going on, so he reaches for a higher power. You know, that's where, I think that's how religion got created. So I don't want to get off on another tangent, but anyway, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention to you before, I don't want to take too much time, you were talking about surviving about going through traumas, you know. I happened to be channel surfing the other day, and I caught half of this program. It was called Into the Void. Did you ever see that?
No, I'm not sure.
Oh, my God. Armand, you've got to see this. There's two guys were hiking in a mountain. One of them fell, and the guy literally survived with a broken leg.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Yeah. So that, to me, was so inspirational, because here I am sometimes, you know, we beat ourselves up. We're so mean to ourselves.
Well, let me ask you this, Tony. When's the last time you were in love?
Oh my! I'm in love now. I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in a great relationship.
And you have a great relationship, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And when how long has this gone on?
6 years now.
And if it breaks up, are you going to survive?
Yeah, I will. But I'm going to make
that.
Sure.
Get that. Hang in there.
I will. I'm going to make sure it doesn't break
and,
up, though.
But no, wait. No, you can't. You're doing the certainty thing, you see?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to not make sure it doesn't break up. You're going to know that if this tremendous love that you have, which I know you have, that is significant right now, that if by chance the two of you would separate, you will also go through that pain.
Oh, absolutely.
Not by trying to cement the two of you together by crazy glue and making sure that neither of you go anywhere so that you can't separate.
Right.
One of the beauties of love is its fluidity, is being able to let it flow.
Right.
To let it pass through.
Right.
So what I say to you, my friend, is if you love now in a big way, don't buy insurance. You know,
I get it. I get what you're saying.
I'm sure you do. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
212-209-2900. That's what goes wrong with people. That's when they go from love to connection. Because love has risk. You know, I mean, love has risk all the time. When your lover betrays you in some way, if not, what do you even call it betrayal? When they do something you don't like, when they go off on a trip and you don't want them to go off on a trip, if you're at risk, it's like a stab in the heart. It hurts because you miss them. But so what? You go through the pain. But if you try to control it, if you try to make sure that, you know, every time they try to go somewhere, you kind of bind them or hold them or make them responsible or guilty, then what you wind up with is a lost love, a strong connection, but you lose that other thing. You lose the essence, that beautiful, beautiful essence. One more call, 212-209-2900, and then we're going to take a short break, a little music, and then back to you. Hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Felicia, how are you?
Hello, Felicia. Good.
I did that tape with Tony Robbins. I really liked it.
Uh-huh.
For me, certainty intertwined with security.
How do you like Tony Robbins?
I love him. He changed my life, as did you.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. He's great. A little hyper, but okay.
Okay, what do you mean by a little hyper?
He's on the adrenaline treadmill.
So let me ask you something. When you see it,
yes.
What do you say to yourself?
I make myself breathe and not get sucked into that.
So what you're saying is you see Tony Robbins as somebody who is trapped.
No, I don't.
On an adrenaline treadmill.
I don't see him as trapped. I see it just as Tony, and I take what I need, and I leave the rest.
Okay.
But it's funny.
That's your way of loving.
Yes, he saved
you love,
my life.
When you love Tony Robbins and you love me, you take what you need and you leave the rest of us behind.
Yes, I love you both equally.
Right, and you discard the part of us you don't want.
Yes, I do that with everything.
You know, everything in your life.
You I use eat, what I can.
You eat the inside of the artichoke.
Try to look a bit good. It's so funny that you said that about the trip, because I've been involved with a man who lives in L.A. who works here 10 months out of the year, and I dodged him for 3 years because his cons were not outweighed his pros, and then he did something that moved me last September, and, you know, I let go, I relinquished my control, and I, you know, went for it. And it was rocky, and I don't like that because that's uncertain. I like variety with I think a variety with uncertainty, not white-knuckling it. Then he announced to me a few weeks ago that he's shortening his trip in New York to, he's leaving next week, and he's going back to California for 4 months.
Mm.
And I flipped out, and I said to him, well, you're basically leaving me, and if that's the case, I won't communicate with you. And he said, well, I'll buy you a ticket to come out here. And I said, I'm going to Paris, going the opposite direction. I have suffered tremendous loss. I took care of elderly parents, all kinds of torture.
So you feel hurt.
I was devastated.
And angry.
Yes, I prefer my anger. Anger feels better than hurt.
Yeah, I hear.
However,
but you've been left before, weren't you? You were left when you were a kid.
I was abandoned by everybody and everything.
What
my
about when
life?
You were a child?
Totally.
By whom?
My mother had 4 children. She dumped me off on my aunt because she couldn't handle the load.
And where was your dad?
Working 24/7 to
so he was never available.
The only one available to me was my grandmother and my aunt.
Yeah. So when you relive these pains, it gets very, very difficult, and you must feel explosive. You must feel like you just can't stand it.
Well, it makes me angry. Then I start cursing, and I sound like Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
My brother said.
So you go from Tony Robbins to Tony Soprano. It's not
yes.
bad.
However, the guy's flipping out, and I told him that I will not speak to you, and D-Day is coming up next Monday. So I may not even show up Monday because I said I don't do goodbye. I only do hello.
You know, we're going to have to talk a little more about this. Can you stand by while we take
absolutely,
our short
love,
break?
Absolutely.
Stay on the phone. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, a little music, and we'll continue our talk. Be right back.
Был художник один, домик имел и холсты, но он актрису любил, ту, что любила цветы. Он тогда продал свой дом, продал картины и кровь, и на все деньги купил целое море. влюблен, кто влюблен, кто влюблен и всерьез. Свою жизнь для тебя преврати в цветы. Утром ты встанешь у окна, может, сошла ты с ума. Так продолжение сна. Площадь цветами полна, ах, холодеет душа. Что за богач здесь чудит, а под окном чуть дыша. Бедный художник стоит.
Isn't that sweet? From my friends in Russia. Million a la Rus. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI. We are talking about significance, and we're talking about certainty versus uncertainty. And Felicia is still on the wire with us. Felicia, you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, Felicia, let's go over this again. So you, Felicia, have fallen in love with a man who's sometimes on the West Coast, sometimes he's here, but you are not somebody who has lived very well with the uncertainties of life. You have tried to control many of the forces around you. Then all of a sudden this guy comes up and he says to you, I'm leaving town.
Early.
Early. Earlier than you expected.
2 months earlier.
That's right. And you say, oh, no, you don't. You try to leave, I'm going to break your legs. Right? You said that to him, right?
Sort of, yeah. Choke him.
Choke him. I'll choke you. And he said, well, no, you can come with me. I'll give you tickets. He said, no, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to go to France, and I'm going to find a French lover, and I'm going to lay in bed with him instead of you.
I didn't say that.
You didn't?
I just said I'm going the opposite direction to France.
You're going to go to France. Well, what are you going to do in France?
I don't even know if I'm going. I just said
of
that
course,
because it sounds good.
To say it.
I think I was inspired by your music.
You wanted to scare him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're angry at him.
Yeah.
Because you want to control him, because you don't want him to leave. And he's probably leaving because he's mad at you, you know.
No, he has business, he claims.
Nah, I don't believe it.
He wants to be
you
rid
see,
of me?
You see, you're the kind of person that scares people. Because you have this kind of anger inside of you, this vengeance. So when you get with a man, and you have a man like this, I guarantee you he's a passive-aggressive man.
Well, I've changed his life. I got him the job here. I do everything for him. So
that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
I don't know. He's not going back to anything good.
You're riding the pony. You controlled him. You have shaped him. You have given him certainty where he was uncertain, right?
He was a lost soul.
He was a lost soul. You know, it's nice to be a lost soul.
Not when you don't have money, it's not.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Sure, when you don't have money, you're even better off than when you have a 401k plan.
How do you survive?
Because you get by, because nature provides you. Because you don't worry, you don't have to. But he's
well, actually, he has a serious health problem, and sure. I found him a doctor, and he won't go.
Yes, yeah, see what's happening?
Yeah.
What's happening is you have tried your whole life to find love.
Yeah.
And you've tried to find it in such a delicate way that the way you found it was you said, look, let me be strong for you. Let me help you. And so you find a person who's dependent, and you help them out.
Yeah.
And then what happens to all these dependent people is they have chosen to have their lives with uncertainty. And then when they start feeling the certainty that you offer, which is, you know, the cage that they have, that they're going to now be dressed, they're going to have a job, they're going to get healthy, something inside them balks.
Right.
And it does almost every time, and they just stick up. And passive-aggressive people will always do this. They will
find... He could die if he doesn't get treatment.
That's okay. He doesn't mind dying.
Oh, my God.
Why, oh, my God? Why, oh, my God?
I think that's disgusting not to have any kind of respect for your temple.
Yeah, I understand.
You know,
but you see, here's the problem. The problem is what you really want is you want him to stick around because you have loved him and he has loved you and you want to keep him.
Oh, no, I'm not the angel that you portray. I have other men also on the side. I don't have sex with them, but I always have to have like three men that want me at all times, like my
mother.
Because
you don't want to be uncertain.
Right.
Because you love certainty.
Right, because I want to have backup plans.
Sure. So I understand. So control is a very important issue to you.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Don't you wish it weren't?
Oh, yeah. It totally sucks.
Yeah.
Does so this man love what me or does he not love me?
Oh, that doesn't matter.
Sure it does.
My question to you, Felicia, is this. Who are you? You see, I don't know who the you are is that they're loving. If you are controlling everything, I don't know who you are. What's the real Felicia like? I know, for example, that Felicia is a very sensitive person and that you have great tears in your heart. I know that there's a sadness that's so close to you at every moment and you keep it back, but you don't show it. So who is the Felicia that they are loving?
Well, does we go out. We have very nice times.
Sure.
They're very smooth.
Yeah, I understand.
It's his loss.
Yes, it is his loss, and it's your loss as
but
well.
But am I doing the wrong thing? I don't think I can deal
yeah.
with him
you know what
going
you need,
back.
Felicia? You need to find you before you find another relationship. You need to not have three backup guys. But
I don't
you
do
need,
anything with them. They just
you need, I know it doesn't matter what you do, but you need one backup Felicia. Just one backup Felicia. You find Felicia, and you connect with her. And I promise you, life is going to be easier. Because it's like you're searching for yourself, but you're searching through these men.
Right.
You're not going to find it that way.
Well, no, I'm doing this whole thing now, this new Melody Beatty thing. I've done her for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very helpful for me.
Uh-huh. I'm sure
you're Codependency. It's a great new book she just came out
sure,
with.
Sure. I'm sure you're doing a great deal. You sound like such a good, sensitive person.
Thank you.
But I want you to have somebody in your life who you're not controlling. Somebody
I'm
in
not
your,
trying to control him.
I know you're not trying to,
I just don't want
to,
him to go down the rabbit hole. I don't want him to go down the wrong path. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I don't. It's negative.
I know, but you have to let people be who they are.
If they're going to die, even?
Sure.
How can anyone do that? That's unconscionable.
Felicia, good to talk to you.
Thanks.
You know, if you ever want to get in touch with me, you and I could talk about this at some length.
Okay.
You're not responsible for everybody's life.
I know that.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Sure. Wow. It's a great example of it, of that confusion. The need to be significant to someone by being in charge of their life. in charge of their life. Imagine feeling joyous when they could finally stand up after they haven't stood up in a long while. 212-209-2900, our number here. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Denny.
Hello, Denny.
I just have another thought about the significance in giving as one and violence as another. When people ask you to give more than you want to give or can, does that lead to kind of anger and violence?
Well, what happens to you when people ask you to give more than you want to give?
I feel uncomfortable.
You feel uncomfortable. And give me an example of who asks you to give more than you want to give, like your mother?
No, I can't think of an example.
Well, give me an example.
I can't think of
one. Well, how about your mother? Does she ask you to give more than you give?
No.
Does your mother ask you for
enough? She doesn't ask me for enough.
That's the difference. So here we are. Your mother doesn't need you. Are you still there?
Yeah.
You went dead. What about your mom? Tell me about your relationship to her. Are you there?
Yeah.
You have to talk in between, because if we get this dead air, they disconnect us automatically.
I can't talk about it.
You can't talk about it because it hurts, right? Is that right? So what I've done just now is, in asking you, the question you asked me is, if somebody asks you of something and they ask too much of you, and what I keyed in on was the fact that you have a great need to find a connection with your mother, and that there's an enormous pain that's so big that if we bring it up right this moment, you could have one huge tear that could burst out right this second because it's so painful. So there, behind some hidden need, which is the need to have a mother who identifies you and finds you significant, which is what you're talking about, you uncover this thing about being needed instead. You see? And it's so hard to find where the source is, but it's very clear right now that we are at the source. And the source is so big that it overwhelms you. You can't even speak. It must be very painful, is it?
I can't talk about it now.
Can you talk about it at another time with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. How long have you been listening to this program?
About a month or two.
How did you discover it?
By accident.
By accident, just passing by?
Yeah.
What did you hear that attracted you?
Insight.
Say it again?
Insight.
Insight. Insight because there's something about insight that you love?
Mm-hmm.
Because of something about insight, Denny, and being able to see? Is it something that you have as well?
I think so, sometimes.
Yeah. Do you have any friends?
Yeah.
Who's your luckiest friend?
They're all lucky.
Yeah, well, tell me about her.
I can't talk about it now.
Another thing you can't talk about. I understand. Denny, thank you for calling in. But listen, the next time you call in, you'll be an old-timer here at WBAI, and it'll be your second time for having called, and then you'll be able to talk with much more ease and much more care.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in. 212-209-2900. You see what happens sometimes, my friends? We have these things that are hidden from our own view, and they're hidden, you know? So if I ask you about him, you just suddenly said, where did that come from? How did he get that? Where did that come from? But it's right there. See, in my eyes, it's right in front of me. We're going to have to take another call. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Armand, that's because you've done your work.
Yep.
That's the reason why you're there.
Yep, we have.
Yes, we have. I haven't talked to you in a long time. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah, what's your name?
It's Giuseppe.
Oh, Giuseppe. How are you, Giuseppe?
I've been better.
Had a hard time recently?
Yeah, I lost my mom.
Oh, my gosh. When did she die?
In October.
Wow.
And
was that sudden?
Pardon me?
Was that sudden?
No, not at all. She had a bad last 8 years of her life, but I took care of her, and I was very grateful for having the privilege of doing that.
Did she die? Did you see her die?
Yes, I did.
What was that like?
Oh, it was, it brought me to my soul, to see another human being take their last breath.
And
it
and
made
your mother,
me less fear of my own mortality.
Yeah.
And,
what was her last breath like?
It was like a last breath, with no pain. And I cried over it, many tears. I wailed over it.
Because
even though I know what she did to me early on in life, I know the good things that she did. I guess I cried for the good things that she did to me, or for me, and I'm very grateful I was able to see that and absorb all that she's done for me.
So as she exhales her neshuma, her last breath,
yes,
you say to her, goodbye, Mom.
Oh, before she did that, before she lost total consciousness of everything, say 2 days, maybe 3 days before that occurred, when she still had some cognitive left in her, I bent down and told her that I forgave her and I loved her and to go in peace. And she turned around and said, I love you too. And she was sorry for anything that she did to me.
Good for you,
and,
Giuseppe.
It was a wonderful closing. That's all I can say.
Good for you, Giuseppe. Good for
yeah.
you. So that sadness lingers on. It'll take you a while.
Yeah, it'll take me a while.
Good
I
for
understand.
You. I'm with you.
Thank you. Have
Thanks for
day.
Calling in, sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille with some of our brave souls here on the WBAI. We're talking about, what are we talking about? Certainty, uncertainty, and significance, connection, love. And we're hearing it all. We're talking about how people connect and how they love and how they don't love. But you could hear in their voices, you could hear the pain that people share with us. But you know the beauty of it is in this program on WBAI, on the positive mind, there is so much respect that everybody has. There's so much honesty. I don't know what warrants that, but it's like, it's beautiful. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi,
there.
Armand.
Hi there.
Hi. I was thinking about my relationship that I've just been in terms of the certainty and uncertainty.
Yes.
And it really just kind of gave me some clarity because the certainty for me, the relationship was certain, but it wasn't good. And from what you were saying, for me, the uncertainty of it was really kind of living in the hope that I would be treated differently. Because I was really, thinking I kind of felt kind of taken advantage of and certainly unloved. And the uncertainty for me was keep thinking that with each day he would be different and acknowledge me more.
And the question becomes why you chose him in the first place. You know what I mean? So it doesn't just have to do with him. You know, it has to do with your choosing mechanisms. And what happens when he passes, as he passes through your life, you wind up choosing better. Instead of trying to get blood from a stone, you get strawberries instead.
Yeah. I won't live in hope for that. I'll live for that.
Yeah. You're a gentle person. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Ron.
212-209-2900. Time for one more call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there, you're on the air.
Wow. Wow, I actually got through.
You got through, and we got 2 minutes. Who is this?
Oh, my God. My name is Camille. I called in many years ago. I never
Camille, hello. I can never forget your name.
You probably have, though.
No, I remember the name Camille because Camille is a very significant name to me.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I wanted to find out about the uncertainty of just moving forward in life. I know a lot of people are talking about relationships, but what's about the relationship to life and the certainty, the uncertainty that sometimes arises in just taking a new path?
Well, are you taking a new path?
I feel that I am, and I feel that I'm leaving behind a lot of things that I'm accustomed to and that I love for something that is extremely uncertain. And I don't know how really to plant my feet in that uncertainty or to move forward with it.
Well, there's an answer.
Okay.
There's an answer to how to move forward through the uncertainty. There's only one way. There's only one way to move through, especially with later life uncertainty, because, you know, no matter how we try to do it, there's only one thing you could do. You could dip into the rhythm of it. You find the rhythm of where you are, and you begin to dance. You see, it's the dance that takes you through, and you're a dancer.
Yeah.
I know you are. So your way is going to be, Camille, to just dance. Don't try to plant your feet. Just keep moving. Keep dancing. Move your arms. Swing yourself around. Get the sway of it. Breathe.
This sounds so easy.
Life. Yeah, I know it is. Because you know something, Camille? It is. It's a breeze. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us. I have to get going. This is Armand DeMille with you with Camille and the Positive Mind. And special thanks to all of you, especially to Stephanie Dombra on her birthday. 212. You can contact us at BrainLink. No. Go to thepositivemind.com. Positivemind.com. Or through, go to WBAI.org as well, my friends. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Here's a little last tango for all the dancers out there.